Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Janet Christie is here, too. Janet's a 14-year member of our Brain Trust. We couldn't do without her. Founder and president of Leverage and Development, author of 101 Winning Marketing Actions for Small Businesses, also capitalizing on being woman-owned. That tells you that she's devoted to small businesses, and she's been devoted to us now for 14 years, and we love having her on the show. Janet, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. So you're worried about the service industry as we extrude ourselves through this restart wormhole, fits and starts and everything. You're worried about the service industry. Tell us about that.
I am, and you know, my history of working with small businesses has primarily been women and minority-owned businesses, mm-hmm. and they kind of tend toward the service businesses. So,
well, one of the reasons is because they're low capital. Takes low capital. You don't have a lot of inventory.
Right.
You sell your capability, your personal skills, which I've made a living on my, you know, most for the last 30 years. I've done the same thing. God bless it. It's a great way to make a living, isn't it, if you can do it?
Oh, it is. And a lot of the people have worked in industry or been a teacher or something. And so now they're capitalizing on their expertise mm-hmm. by becoming some type of consultant or mm-hmm. providing the service in a different way than when they were an employee.
Without having to have $100,000 or $1 million worth of inventory. Go ahead.
Right. But unfortunately, for most service businesses, the profit margin is very small. And if you can't get to your business because you had to shut down for whatever mm-hmm. reason, or mm-hmm. you can't deliver your services because people aren't there to receive them, then a little bit of time can have a long-term effect on a small service business.
Well, that's one thing. The same thing is when you don't have inventory, one of the things inventory is it leverages your activity, right? I can make, if I make a sale for my services, that's one amount of money. If I make a sale for something I can deliver, some inventory, that's another level, and it's it creates cash flow, but when you have just services, as you say, when customers can't get to customers, the cash runs out real quick.
It does, and you know, we've seen some unique and pretty creative ways that people have changed their businesses. Like distilleries are now making hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a product, an actual physical product that you have a production line for that you could maybe alter a little bit, mm-hmm. it's a little harder for a service business to alter what they're doing.
If you're a carpet cleaning company, people aren't going to let you come in their house to clean their carpet, even if they need it.
Right.
They're going to wait until this is over and come in and do the whole thing. But in the meantime, you've gone out of business.
Right, because one of the other factors there is that the people who are in the home, now they're in the home, but they're in the home because they can't go to work, so
right.
they're not making money, so mm-hmm. they don't have money to pay you, even if they allowed you to come mm-hmm. into your home. So it's, you know, there's a couple of whammies. I started to say a double whammy, mm-hmm. but there's a couple of
triple
them.
Triple whammy, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But service businesses can alter and modify and do makeovers and repackage and, you know, find new ways of delivery also. But that's very, very hard to do unless you know your customers and understand what their fears may be or how they like to receive services. One of the best examples that has come up recently is, you know, I do big research projects for government agencies. So I'm working with some health departments, and they are now outsourcing the COVID case tracing. Now, now health departments have been doing tracing of diseases for a long time, HIV, tuberculosis, and a few others, to find out where it came from, who else has been exposed, et cetera. So now some states are mandating that they have to do the tracing in a certain way because everybody's looking for that information to develop the vaccine and all the other things. So now there's a software program, and they're saying you have to use this software program, but the government is giving money to the health departments to spend with an outsourcer who can do that tracing. So maybe if your business used to do coding for doctor's offices and people haven't been going to doctor's offices, maybe you could switch over and learn how to do that COVID tracing.
And I'm going to, I want the record to show that I didn't jump all over the political First Amendment part of the tracing issue. So I'm just going to let it go there. People who know me understand the restraint that I'm showing. Go ahead, Kathy.
I understand what you're saying. But they're going to do that. Now, when they call you, you don't necessarily have to provide, you know, you don't have to give the answer. Right. But they also, the other part of that is they're, when it comes to HIV and tuberculosis and things, they have to tell people who have potentially been exposed that they have. So there's the other side of that, too. And the
so you're saying that the service industry is getting caught up. It's not only getting caught up in the disease, but it's also getting caught up in the politics. It's getting caught up in the psychology. It's getting caught up in the fear. There's so, as you say, there are multiple whammies that are against the service industry, especially those things that we can do without.
Well, and the masks is a good example of it, or even sanitizing your hands, but. Some people won't go to a business unless they wear masks. And then, you know, the business owner might be saying, that's my right. I don't have to wear a mask. That may be true, and not debating whether it's effective or not. It's the same as any other thing. If your customer or client wants you to wear a mask, they're not coming if you don't.
That's the thing. We've going forward for the next several months, probably, we've got to be more sensitive to the sensitivity of our customers and the service industry especially. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Janet Christie. Leverageanddevelopment.com is the website. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.